singing that he has provided for us this evening. It's indeed a blessing for us to be able to come this evening and worship God in spirit and in truth. We must always remember that we are not here because we have been so good or because we have been so careful, but it's because of God's tender love and mercy that we are here this evening. We want to thank Lee also for a wonderful sermon that he preached this morning, very eloquent sermon, and we're just so glad to see all of our visitors this morning, this afternoon that we have, especially many of my friends from the South Union Church of Christ. Happy to see my mentor, Brother Edgar Scott, who taught me everything I know about preaching. He preached some 45 years before he retired. And if any man's worth sitting at his feet and listening to, he's one great to sit and just talk to. And everything I will be and ever be in the gospel, he has been responsible for it. So you always want to give people credit who have helped you along in your spiritual growth. We're so happy to have everyone that's here this evening visiting the Bel Air congregation. As Lee was saying, we want, and Harrison, that we want to be mindful of Cynthia and David and their visit to Arkansas, that they come home safely without any hurt, harm, or danger. And we should always, as Christians, pray for one another. We should never in this life take anything for granted. So each opportunity that we get, we should always be mindful of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lee had me to come up pretty fast there, and I had my mic on, and I said, well, my goodness, that was pretty fast. But anyway, tonight we will be speaking shortly. I'm not one to believe in preaching very long. I can say a whole lot in 10 or 15 minutes, and this is not my first time. I've been speaking off and on for about 12 years. Brother Scott has taken me many places throughout the state of Louisiana preaching, and he's responsible for me preaching and teaching. If you have your Bibles, we're going to ask you that you turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Romans chapter 10. We'll begin reading at verses 1 through 4. And the Bible read, brethren, my heart desires and prayers for God for Israel, that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. I would like to speak briefly tonight for a moment in form of a question. How good is your Bible knowledge? How good is your Bible knowledge? Paul, in writing to the Church of Christ at Rome, in reference to the Israelites, those who had been baptized into the body of Christ, and Paul was saying that I bear witness that they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. One thing we must keep in mind, wisdom and knowledge works together. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is simply the proper use of knowledge. And Paul is writing, and he said, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have established their own righteousness, not submitted to the righteousness of God. He said, for Christ is the end of the law. Many of them were still holding on to the law. And one thing that we must remember about God's word, it's not a matter of who's right or what's right. The Bible is right. Many times we in the body of Christ, we get caught up in opinion on how I feel, how I think. God does not care about how we feel or how we think. God just look at the obedience of one's heart. When we look at how God, that God himself, when we look at the Bible, God himself is a God of knowledge. If you would, let's turn to our Bible. I'm a Bible preacher. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 19. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 19 read, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heaven. By his knowledge the depth was broken up and the clouds dropped down dew. Here we can see that God is not only a God of love, but God is a God of wisdom and a God of knowledge. Even when we look at God in his design of the earth When we go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it tells us that God framed the world by his word. That right there, that dispels all that myth about evolution. Even when we look at the church, we can see that Christ himself played a very important part in the creation. When we go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, it tells us that all things were created for him, by him, and through him, and without him wasn't anything made. Then we can look at the Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 2. It tells us that the Spirit moved up on the face of the water. So that lets me know that it's nothing to do with Christ and God the Father with evolution. It's in the book, and if we ever going to make heaven our home, we must go by the book. If it was not for the Bible, Lee, we wouldn't know whether we were a dog, a cat, or a rat. We wouldn't know what we were if it was not for God's word. And you know, God, from the beginning, God had a problem with man. We go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6. God said himself, it repented him in his heart the day that he made man. Some translations said made him sorrowful, which means the same thing, just a change of word. He said it repented him. And you know, it's sad when it repented God that he made man, because man has never from the beginning wanted to obey God. When we look at Eve and Adam, our foreparents in the garden, one problem that she had is she didn't want to listen to God. It's good to listen to people, but listen to the right people. As she listened to the serpent, and the serpent was giving her instruction. And one thing, God had already given them instruction. He said, if you eat out of the tree in the midst of the garden, you should surely die. And they did die. They did die spiritually. That's the first case you can read about spiritual food poisoning in the Bible. Is that all right? Not only that God was the first one to serve an eviction notice, because the Bible says he put them out of the garden. Is that all right? So it's nothing new. Is that even God is a God that's a serious God. And just like God loves us, God also can show us his wrath. He said he chastised those that he loved. And we must always keep in mind, as Proverbs 20 and 24 says, a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own ways? Jeremiah said it's not in, Jeremiah 10, 23 said, it's not in man to direct his own steps. So anytime man thinks that he can go through this life without the spiritual knowledge of God, he is headed for trouble. We must always keep that in mind. First of all, God is a God of accountability. God is a God of responsibility. You know, Jesus said on one occasion in Luke chapter 2, verses 47 through 48, he's talking about the evil and the good servant. He said, whom much is given, much is expected. And one thing that we must look at ourselves, that when God blessed us with knowledge, God does not want us to just sit on the knowledge he has. Many times churches die because the knowledge they have of God's word, they don't do anything with it. You know, it's just like when our kids, for example, when they go to school, and when they come home to mother or grandmother or grandfather, and they bring your beautiful report card, the first thing we want to do, we want to give them a reward for it. What do? We pull out something out of our purse, grandmother or grandfather pulls something out of his wallet, he say, here's little Susie, here's little Johnny, I want to give you something. I want to give you a reward for job well done. Well, we should have that same attitude when we look at ourselves. We would ask ourselves today, according to our knowledge that we have, what if God would pull our spiritual credit report? You know, many times we take great pride in keeping our credit A1, but if God would pull our spiritual credit report, just what would he find out about some of us, about our knowledge and love for him? Wonder how many times will he find out that we've just been habitually late? Wonder how many times that he look on our report and just say, well, they was there all the time, but their mind was just idle. They were just coming here to do something. How would our spiritual credit scores add up with God? Is that all right? Because God is a fair God. God is a God that has no respect of persons. There's three things that we must keep in mind that we as Christians will be judged by. Number one, opportunity. Number two is our ability, and number three is our knowledge. When we look at the talents that Jesus had given the three, he gave one five, one two, and the other one. Now the one that he gave five, he went out and he did something with his talent. The one he gave two, he did something with his talent. But the one he gave one talent, when Jesus returned, that's a beautiful parable. He told Jesus, he said, Jesus, I know that you're a hard man. Many times when it comes to us that are trying to go to heaven, we have to remember that the knowledge that God has given us, God expects of us to do something with it. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. So the thing is that as God bless us to have spiritual knowledge, God expect us to go out and do something with the knowledge that he has blessed us with. There's two types of knowledge. Knowing the facts. This type of knowledge is acquainting our minds with the facts about a person, place, or thing. Then we have the second knowledge, knowing by personal experience. One thing when you look at personal experience, if I just read a book about computers, I couldn't very well say that I have experience with computers. But if I build a computer and then I use it, that's personal experience. What are you saying, Brother Hart? It's the same way with God's Word. You just can't have a Bible sitting up on your table at home or on your nightstand and never open it and say, yes, I'm an astute Bible student. Is that all right? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approval, a workman to God, need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. In other words, God said that if you're going to make it to heaven, if you're going to be a good student of mine, you must study. It's impossible to go to heaven without studying God's word. First of all, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. How do you know, Brother Lord? Jesus said, and when we go to John 14 and 2, he said, in my Father's house, he said, first of all, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house, leave there are many mansions. He said, if it wasn't, I would not have told you so. And he said, but I will come back and receive you to myself. Other words, that let me know that if we're going to heaven, we must prepare ourselves down here on earth in order to make heaven our eternal home. And that requires study. Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 5 and verses 17, Paul said, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, if we don't study God's word and if we don't apply ourselves, then we become unwise. And Paul was not writing to people in the world. He was writing to people that were members of the body of Christ. Many times when we don't study our Bibles and we meet people and people are discussing the Bible, and so often we will say, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to start an argument. You would never start an argument because one thing I want to tell you is the Bible can stand on its own merits. Is that all right? All we have to do, Lee, is just rightfully divide the word of God, do it in love, and the Bible will stand on its own merits. One thing we must keep in mind is that when we study God's word, it's not just for us, but when we study, we also help others. We as fathers are leaders in our home. When we study, we help form good habits for our family members. If they don't see us as fathers or grandfathers pray or study the Bible or teach our grandchildren, our children about God's knowledge, you have a whole nation of people growing up with the lack of knowledge. You know, Hosea wrote in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, when he's writing about the children of Israel, he said, my people perish because of lack of what? Knowledge. Knowledge is very important. When you're talking about God's word, you can only be as close to God as your knowledge would allow you to be. Is that all right? And the thing is that we should have an intimate relationship with God where we will constantly want to study God's word. Every day it should be a part of our spiritual diet. Just like when we get up in the morning and we have to have that fresh cup of coffee, we should get up in the morning and we go out and get the Houston Chronicle to see all the bad things that happened during the night or what's happening with the stock market. We should pick up our Bible and we should refresh our minds with God's word. We should start out with prayer and read a few verses of the scripture to take us along our way. Pray for our children. Pray for our mothers. Pray for our fathers. We should never take anything for granted. Is that all right? We always want to keep that in mind. Then the Bible tells us that when we look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the writer tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. But in all thy getting, get an understanding. That's the dangerous thing. Some people study to get just enough knowledge of the Bible to be dangerous to themselves and be dangerous to someone else. That's why the Bible tells us that we should study. And when we study, we are to apply the things of God's word to our life. And then when we study the Bible, we're able to go out and then help others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 27, it said, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame to the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame to the things where are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are devised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring nothing to the things that are." One thing that we must keep in mind, God can let this world go on all without us. One thing we have to keep in mind, the church is bigger than any one of us. This whole universe is bigger than either one of us. And no matter, all the apostles have died and the church is still going on. That should let us know that the church of Christ is bigger than we are. Many times in the church, in my preaching over the few years, you hear people say, "Well, we don't want to talk about the one true church." You have no other alternative, because that's all the Bible speaks of, is the one true church. Christ only died and he only purchased one church. Is it Christians in all churches? No. Bible tells all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 is in Christ Jesus. That let me know that if you're outside of the body, there's no way that you can be saved. Well, you say, "Well, Brother Hardin, well, there's a lot of good people." What we equate as good people and what God equates as good people is totally different. When you go back to Noah and the ark, we know that it was more than 8 souls, but for some 120 years, he just kept telling them that it was going to rain, and that in order to be saved, they had to come into the what? Into the ark. And then God had given him the instruction, knowledge-wise, on what to build the ark out of. He said, "Build it out of gopher wood." Now you say, "Well, wonder why he didn't build it out of any other wood." God had given him specific instruction to build it out of gopher wood. And only 8 souls were saved. God deals with obedience, not what we look at being a good person. Because what we look at is good person, God does not look at it that way. Jesus said there's only one that's what? That's good, and that's the Father, what? In heaven. The Bible tells us there's not a just man on earth that does good that does not sin. So God is the only one that can fit that accolade of being what? One of being good. One thing about our Bible knowledge, that when we study our Bibles and we obtain knowledge of the Bible, when adversity come up in our lives, we are able to handle it better. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 24 and verse 10, it said, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." Well, what causes that? Many times is that we don't study God's word. We do not allow it to become a part of our spiritual diet. And then when anything that comes up, it just rocks our world. I can remember about a year and a half ago, many of you all know Larry, my brother that attends here, when our mother passed. And if I had not been grounded in the word of God, and all of us boys, we love our mothers. And if it had not been for me being grounded with the teaching of Brother Eddie Scott over the years and helping me grow, I would have just been mentally and emotionally distraught. But you know what got me through it? Each day, this right here, along with my prayer for my brothers and sisters. And I was able to keep going on. Not that it hurt me, but it gave me that strength. Because had I not been grounded in, I'd have failed, probably been in the crazy house, just fell totally apart. So it's important that we make this a part of our spiritual diet. Even many of us who have children going off to college for the first time, this should be the first thing that you tell them to put in a big suitcase. Is that all right? Because they're going to need this, because mom and dad is not going to be there. You're going to need someone to talk to at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when you get up and you're disturbed at night and mother and dad are sleeping home. You can pick up this Bible and read. And this is how God speaks to us through his word. You might hear people say that, "Well, God spoke to me." I won't doubt somebody spoke to him, Lee. But God, I don't want God speaking to me in the physical realm. Not that I don't love him, but he might tell me something, Matt, that I can't handle. That's why the Bible tells us in John 5:37, Jesus said, "No one have seen him at any time, nor heard his voice, or seen his form." So that right there, the Bible will handle that right there. So we must keep those things always in mind. The only way God talks to man is through the Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That's the way that God speaks to us. No other way that God speaks to man except through his word. And we always want to keep that in mind. And when we look at knowledge, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 6, the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Christ at Corinth. And if you have studied the history of the Corinthian church, that church had all types of problems. They had problems with marriage. They had problems with paying the preacher. They had problems with the communion. They just had all types. They had problems in chapter 6 with taking brothers to court. They had in chapter 5, they had problems with incest, with a young man taking it. They had all types of problems. And Paul wrote, he said, even though I'm untrained in speech, yet I'm not in knowledge. One of the problems they had was the lack of knowledge of God's word. And when we do not acclimate God's word into our spiritual diet every day, we go out and we are no different from people in the world. Anything that comes up just rocks our world. And you know, as Christians, the Bible tells us that we are to what? We have to be strong. But how can you be strong? You can't be strong when you don't know what it takes to be strong. And then the thing is that I've learned this about life. When I was a young kid, when I was about 25, I'm 51 now, I don't mind telling my age. And I remember when I was young, Brother Harris and I would get up in the morning and I would just jump straight up out of the bed when I was about 25, straight up on the floor, just flexing my muscles. Now when I get up, all types of pains. I have to sit there for 15 or 20 minutes and rub my legs and all like that. And you know, when my parents were my age, I thought they were old. But one thing that we must keep in mind, life is uncertain, but death is sure. And we must keep in mind that as we travel through this life, each day as I get older, the more I think about heaven. Is that all right? And that's what Paul said, putting those things behind. As you obtain knowledge, putting those things behind, pressing toward the mark of a high calling. Then it goes on and says, he goes on and writes, set your affection on things above and not things on earth. That's why sometimes we are so emotionally devastated, because we set all of our emotions and affections on things on earth. And so when things happen, we don't have enough strength to get us across the street. Why, Brother Ken? Because we put our affections on the wrong thing. Two things that many times that distract people, even in being faithful to God: people, places, and things. That's basically what shapes our attitude, even with people that we're surround. Many times as a Christian, we're afraid, even in the New Testament church, to tell people that I'm a Christian. And I'm one that advocate, you don't have to walk around with a Bible under your arm saying, I'm a Christian. All you have to do is just live a Christian life. Is that all right? You don't have to have a book, chapter, and verse for everyone you meet. You can get more people. The best sermons I've ever heard is one where people would just live the Christian life. They didn't give me not one scripture. Is that all right? And that's the way that we, as New Testament Christians, and then not only that, is that as we obtain knowledge, we learn better how to love one another. And you know, that's the common denominator about man. We all get up the same way. We all lie down the same way. We may be different colors or skin or cultural background, but one thing we have in common when we come to the Church of Christ, the church is just like a spiritual hospital. Some of us are in intensive care. Some of us are here on an outpatient basis. What are you saying, Brother Hart? Some of us here, we come here because we want to be edified. We realize that we need Jesus. And that's the common denominator that we all have, is that we all need Jesus. And what do you mean by some on an outpatient basis? Some of us are just slip in and out every now and then, in and out. But the most basic thing is that we all need Jesus. So that's why Paul said, we that are strong, in Romans 15, he tells us about verse 1, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities, what? Of the weak. And then when we look at that, and not only that, when we look at knowledge, and I'm getting ready to close, but Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 38, he said, but if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. You know, there's some people, no matter what you tell them, they're not going to believe you. But when you tell someone something in love, then you just shake the dust off your feet and you just keep going. One thing you have to remember in this life, you're not going to save everybody. But the thing Peter says is what? Save yourself. That's the biggest obligation that we have as Christians. Then 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 20 said, 21, Paul said, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And what we have to remember is that the Bible will stand on its own merit. And when he said prove all things, don't prove them by opinion. Don't prove them by feelings or emotions. Prove things by the Scripture. And when we prove things by the Scripture, we are to do it in a loving way. You know, as we obtain knowledge of God's Word, we should see ourselves growing more spiritually each day. Every day that we look in the spiritual mirror, which is the Bible, we should be able to see something different about ourselves. If you're the same man you were a woman last year, it's something that you lack some improvement. Because when we look in this Bible, all of us need some improvement. And I'm not with God's Word. You know what it makes us God's Word? Number one, it's God's Word, our attitude. Attitude has to do with everything. If you have a bad attitude, it's just almost impossible to study God's Word. And when you study God's Word, when you're seeking knowledge, and you go to God and pray, you must ask God for his divine guidance. Then you must go to God with an open and willing mind. And having the mindset that I don't know everything, but God knows everything, he has everything, and he means everything to me. That's my lesson for this evening. If you're here tonight and not a member of the Church of Christ, God will love for you, be certainly would. Someone might say, well, what would I have to do? Would I have to give a Christian experience? You can't give a Christian experience if you've never lived a Christian life. All you have to do is come up, and it's just so simple to become a member of this great body. Just confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go down in the watery grave of baptism. I don't know what takes place now, but by faith, I know something transforms us. And when you come up, you'll be a new creature in Christ. And then you are added to the body. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. And then all you have to do is just study this Bible. Attend Bible class. Avail yourself. You know, one thing about going to heaven is just like if you want to retire on a job, you got to prepare in the early years. Is that all right? Because when you get about 50 years old, you might be a hand-reach even today of what you want for the rest of your life. Because if you look at corporate America now, when you get about 50, they consider you as old. But the thing is that when you get laid off the job, if you are not grounded in God's Word of the Bible, you're going to have a very tough time mentally and emotionally trying to get through. Y'all, we sing a song. Let me take
it. Take my share from the life, so Lord, I said, he will create a new, make all again. Your empty, wasted year, he will restore, and your iniquity, remember no more. Bring him your every care, if great or small. Whatever troubles you, oh, bring it all. Bring him the haunting fears, the nameless dread. Thy heart he will relieve, and lift up your head. The Savior of us all, almighty friend, his presence shall be ours unto the end. Without him life would be, how dark, how drear, but with him morning breaks and heaven is.